the book of Genesis, when God created man. The same word is used to describe what happens to a sinner when they believe in Christ. They are recreated, they are created anew, or a brand new creation in Jesus. A genetic change has taken place in your spirit man. Something only can be created. It's really a mystery, and it's created by God. In John 1:13, it says, "You were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So you're no longer living for yourself, but you're living for God. All things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things in your life have become new. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it, because we still have to battle that old self sometime. That old sinful nature wants to rise up in us. But we have to remember that God is on our side. He is for us, and he will get us through that, you know, as long as we trust in him and put our faith in him and we're obedient. God really is looking for obedience in us, especially at this time. He really wants obedience from his children. So, in a new sense, the very life and nature of God is living on the inside of you. In Luke 17:21, it says, "Nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." So the kingdom of God is inside of each one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who are born again, who are recreated. In Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race." So we're a race. There is no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no black, there's no white, there's no nothing except for Jesus. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I just want to say, you really need to check your heart if there's any prejudice in you. Because I never knew that about me. This is a while ago, not now. But I never knew that about me till one day I was watching something and I realized, what? I had to question myself. I had to question that feeling I had, that prejudice. It was a prejudice spirit. So I'm asking you guys to check your heart, to make sure we're not looking down at anybody else, any other race. I'm half Mexican, and I have actually looked down on that myself, on Mexicans. So, and I can say that because I am Mexican. And so it's a shame that I looked down on my own race, you know. So but now I'm in Christ, and we all are in Christ. So we're all created in him. So being recreated in Christ brings the blessing of God in your life and in your circumstances. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So we're blessed to have an amazing union with God. We can have that intimate fellowship with him. And Charles Spurgeon said, "There is no joy in this world like union with Christ. The more we can feel it, the happier we are." So even in spite of what we can go through, you know, in circumstances, because seasons come and seasons go, different things rise up, but it's only for a season. And the joy of the Lord always remains. It's always still there in us. You know, it never leaves us. So being recreated in Christ means we're alive for the purposes of God, not for ourselves. It's for good works, but good works that result out of our salvation, that bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So we're bought by the price, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him wholeheartedly. And we should no longer live in the worldly sense, but in the spiritual sense. Our sin nature was nailed to the cross with Christ and buried with Him, and we are raised with Him. So now we need to walk in the newness of the life of Christ by being obedient to the Holy Spirit as He leads and guides us. There's a difference between someone continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. To live in sin is to be committed to something. Something that you're not willing to give up. Something that you're allowing to stay in your life, and instead of letting God take care of it. You're committed to that thing and not wanting, or you're not ready to give it up, to let it go. And if you're in a practice of sinning, then you don't belong to God. Someone that practices sinning, continues in sin, then you really don't belong to God, because the Holy Spirit will come in and change you, and He gives you that desire to not stay in sin. So if you continue to sin, but you admit and confess your sins, then you have fellowship with Christ. There is no one righteous, not even one. The difference is the redeemed Christian is being sanctified or holy day by day. The more we mature in Christ, the less we want to sin. It becomes less frequent in our lives. We no longer are slaves to sin. We are free from it and its power over us. God gave us that power. It has no power over us, but we have power through Christ, our Savior. So we count ourselves dead to sin and alive unto Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "The unbeliever or wrongdoer will not inherit or share in the kingdom of God." Don't be deceived or misled. Neither the impure and the immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who practice in homosexuality, nor cheats, swindlers and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers, nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. And such some of you were once, but you were washed. You were clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from guilt, the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, holy, and you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Now, everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for any of us, but not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. So we have to be careful that not only what we're choosing to do, but we're not affecting others. We have to be careful. We have to make sure that we're not putting temptation in front of other people that might be tempted to do something that maybe it's okay for us, but it's not okay for them. So we really have to be careful. You may be allowed to do certain things and get away with it by the world's standard, but the Bible says that not everything is good for you, not everything allowed in this life is God's standard for living. We have to remember God's standard is higher, and we need to go up higher. Followers of Christ are washed, they're made clean, purified by a complete atonement of sin and free from the guilt of sin. but don't become entangled again with it. It says, if any man be in Christ, there are so many people who are looking to be something or someone, they don't know who they be. They want to be this, that, and the other, but there is only one way to be, and that is in Christ Jesus. When you become born again, you are in Christ. You are, he is. You are, he is. That is who you are in him. This is who you be. You don't have to struggle to be or need to be, trying to be or going to be. You are in Christ. Good things are in you because you are in Christ. And those good things are what we need to be speaking out of our mouths and letting our lives reflect that to others. And that should settle all the confusion, because we know there's a lot of confusion and deception out there. And if we don't show them some stability, then who are they going to see it from? Old dead things are replaced with new things, full of life and the glory of God. We begin to see and view things differently. We see God in a new light and get disgusted with the things of the world and flesh. I know I do. I get irritated and disgusted with what I see, but I do know that God's in control. Our purposes, feelings, desires, and understandings are fresh and they're different. We're able to love others with God's love and compassion on those who don't know him. Now, I remember Barry, he has said many times, you know, when he reflects back on his old life, he can't stand to even think about it. He doesn't like to think about his past because that's not who he is. That person is dead. That person is gone. He doesn't need to remember that old person. So the sin we once held on to, which he once held on to, we now desire to put away forever, and that's how he is. He just doesn't even want to think about it. You know, he puts it away forever. And Colossians 3:9, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and then Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. When I look around and see what's happening in this world, I know that the world is following the devil, the father of lies, and he's got many people trapped and deceived. But we can be that light and make sure that as we show the recreated people that we are, we can shine that light in the love of Jesus to them. So, I wanted to get to this point. If he can confuse you in your thinking, then deception has an open door to come in. But first, he has to try to get you to agree with him. And if he can get you to agree with him, such as that you're a failure, then you'll start acting and speaking that way. If he can get you to agree with you that you're sick, then you'll begin to believe it. And you will act like you're sick, or you will become sick. If he can get you to think you're ugly or rejected, then you will start acting like that. So we have to be careful what we're allowing the enemy to cause our thinking to line up with him. Because what he is trying to do is trying to get our minds to stay on his way of thinking. And if we follow that, then that's what we become. So if you agree with him, then that is a good enough reason for him to continue to attack you in your mind. Your agreement with him becomes binding. That's what an agreement is. It's when two or more people are in harmony or in accordance in opinion or feeling. It becomes a legal binding agreement between parties as to a course of action. So John 14 says, I will not talk with you much more, For the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convinced, that I love the Father and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go away from here. So this is Jesus talking, and he only did what the Father did. It is very important that we keep our minds in check. And I know that God has been working in me personally, that I have been, he's been making me recognize times when I want to go off course back to old behaviors. And it's like, no, I'm rejecting that. That is not me. That is not who I am anymore. And it's hard. It's hard because when you live some way for so long, it's hard. But with God, all things are possible. And he gives us the strength to do that, but we have to choose to do it. So, I lost my place. I'm sorry. Okay. So, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. This is not talking about man's condition. Okay, this is talking about man's condition in Adam before Christ. But once you become born again, you are not in Adam, you are in Christ, and this does not apply to you, because we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, not because of anything we do or anything we say or act or whatever. It's all because of what Christ did for us. So when we sin, or if we, okay, so when we sin, not if, when, if we sin, because we will sin. It's always going to happen. None of us, we're never not going to sin. We're always going to sin. But we have a Savior that we can go to and ask for forgiveness and repent of that sin. So he is faithful and just to forgive us and restore us back to righteousness. God didn't just repair you or fix you. He recreates you into a brand new being, and you have everything in Christ to help you work out your salvation. You are God's handiwork. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand." Isn't that awesome? God has pre-planned things for us. And we might not know what that is, but that's why obedience is important. Because when you're obedient, those pre-planned things that God has for you, it'll lead you right up to what, you know, the goodness of God that he has for you, all that goodness, the blessings he has. So it's important that we are obedient, because it leads us. For us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God has a good life for each one of us. But we have to be obedient, because we're recreated in him. And that's all I have to say. Father God, I just thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. I thank you, Father God, for your blessings upon each one of us. And I thank you for the good plans that you have for us, for this church, for our families, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in each one of our families, Lord God. I know sometimes we don't see the things you're doing, Lord God, but you are working, Lord God. You are working. And I just invite you, all the angels of heaven, the host of heaven, to be here tonight, to minister to the people here tonight, Lord. I just worship and praise you. I glorify you. I give you honor. Lord God, you are such a good, good Father. And I just release your blessings over these people, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that they will always live and move and have their being in you. That they will always walk in the ways of the Lord wherever they go. That you will lead them and guide them, Lord. And no matter where they're at, Father God, your presence will always be with